Mission Transition is a veteran-led project started by Still Serving Veterans, a nonprofit that helps transitioning military members with all things employment as they look for civilian jobs. Oh, and it doesn't cost you a dime. Find out more at ssv.org. Anyway, here's retired Navy Chief Dave Lakin.
Good morning. As Ethan said, I'm Dave Lakin. I'm retired Navy Chief. I work with Still Serving Veterans, and I'm your host today on Mission Transition. Today we're talking to the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Sergeant Major Jack Tilley, and he's coming to us from Florida and enjoying the good life down there. How's life today, Jack?
Life when you're in Florida is perfect. You know, but I played golf yesterday and I'm going to play again tomorrow, so it's perfect down there.
Nice. So, of course, I went over your bio a little bit. Anybody wants to know anything about Sergeant Major's career in the Army, AUSA website has a bunch of information on all the Sergeant Majors of the Army. 38 years from 1966 to 2004, and at that point you retired at the peak. I think that's definitely at some point you got to say I've gone as not necessarily as far as you can go, but you've definitely ended on a high point. But you didn't end. You didn't retire, right? You may be in Florida, but you are definitely not in retirement. You're very active in AUSA, and you have your own American Freedom Foundation with your next mission. And tell us all about that.
Well, you're really right. I don't think being a guy like you can ever retire. So, I did retire. It wasn't 38. In the bio, I must be wrong, but I had a 2-year break in the service, so it's really 36 years. But, and the other thing I'll tell you, too, I had 16 trips to Afghanistan, 3 in Iraq, was fighting in the streets of Saigon when I was 18 years old, in the Pentagon for 9/11, overran once, 20 wounded and 7 killed. So, and I've suffered from post-traumatic stress for over 50 years. So, I'm living a good life in Florida. I was lucky enough to start a foundation with Ted Hacker, a good friend of mine, that we went to overseas and entertained the soldiers in 2001, 2003 together. And so we've been able to reach a lot of people, help a lot of people. And a subject that I always love to talk about is transitioning. So it's great just to be on your show and talk about transition out of the military, because I'd like to tell you about my transition when we get a chance here.
Well, so transition today is very different from when I did it. I got out in 2008, and transitioning then was coming around. But if you talk to folks who've gotten out even since 2008 up until a couple years ago, the general consensus is that they didn't know what they didn't know. They didn't learn it in TAP. And I can tell you, Still Serving Veterans is a partner with Department of Labor on the Employment Navigator program. It's been in place for two and a half years. We were one of the very early partners. And that program has revolutionized TAP across the military. And at the end of last year, they were picked up as a program. And now they're being spread across the whole military, and what they did was they joined with industry, and learned all the lessons learned from all the veteran service organizations like ours, and then incorporated those best practices into the TAP program. It's just been amazing. But from your perspective, I know your next mission does a lot of job fairs, so you talk to hundreds of thousands even of veterans and transitioning service members. What's been your experience talking to them in the last few years?
Well, the biggest thing is when you start that transition process. A lot of people really wait till the end of their career to sort of process themselves out of the service. So I tell everybody that, start at least at a minimum 2 years out. Start that process, and that 2 years is going to go pretty quick. The thing I'll tell you is you should have a resume. So I always think you probably should have a resume when you come into the military and start building on that resume all the way through your service and continue to build on that resume, because a lot of people struggle about putting that resume together. So that's always a difficult one. I think the other thing that's really important is you know, saving money, paying your bills off. And another important thing too is networking. You know, the relationships that you had in the military, no matter what service, we're all veterans, we get out. The relationships you have in our service are going to help you find a job. So start that networking process. You can't start it 2 years out, but I would say 9 months to a year, start that process, because it may take you 6 months, 9 months to and people will give you an offer letter and you can do a lot of stuff. Of course, you can't sign anything as far as employment and stuff. So, but you can at least get your foot in the door and start talking to people about what you're going to do. And that's the other thing. A lot of people say, I don't want to do the same thing I did in the military. Well, guess what? You may have to do that and then find yourself, you know, different employment down the road. And then the other thing I'd tell you, and there's a lot more to talk about, but I'll try to cut off maybe one or two more, is know how much you're worth and finish your education. If you have an associate's degree, get a doctorate degree, a bachelor's degree, or a master's degree, but as much education as you can to get out of before you get out of the service, because that opens up just a lot of doors for you in employment. Not to networking. People you work with in the military are now, you know, CEOs of different companies and stuff like that. And then the last thing, what I'm amazed about, is know how much you think you're worth. Now, most people say, I'll ask them, how much you worth? And they'll say, well, I'm worth $180,000. Wait a minute now. That's a pretty good
That's salary. What my mom says.
That's a pretty good salary. But realistically, how much does it take you to survive? And what do you want to do? And then I said it was the last thing. That was a lie. And then probably one more thing I'll tell you. I opened up a business. And I sort of fell into it, and I have 10 guys that work with me, nine guys work with me. But I opened up a business. I've been having this business for, geez, 15 years or something like that now. But you got to figure out where you fit in. And then the other thing I'll tell you, last thing I promise, is where you do fit in. What's your tribe? Because a lot of people struggle about fitting in when they get out of the service. Because you talk to somebody that hadn't served, they may want to talk to you, but they don't want to talk long about the military. And so where do you fit in? Where's that comfort zone there? So I said I've got a lot more to talk about, but I'll be quiet.
So let's take that piece by piece. I'm a big believer in begin with the end in mind. And so I would prefer that people enter the military with the intention of someday I'm going to get out, whether it's like, you know, Sergeant Major did and 36 years later, or maybe it's at the end of the first tour and it's just 4 years later. But it's not really feasible for every MOS out there to be able to jump into education right away. But get into education as early as you can in your military career, because it will serve you through your entire career. You know, to expose you to all the things that taking college courses and that course of study will require for you to get your degree. It will only make you a better soldier to get out and get that education, that broader worldview of things. But more importantly, it'll make finding that job so much easier when you get out. And the Army in particular and the Air Force have both been really good in recent years about allowing folks to work on their education. A lot of folks coming out with bachelor's degrees and even master's degrees, which is in the enlisted level, you know, it's amazing that they have time to do that stuff. You know, done 9 deployments and I don't know how they had time to do all that, but you know, it's great that they come out with that education already on their resume. If you take a bachelor's degree in any technical or management leadership MOS, and add a security clearance to it, you're looking at 6 figures right out the door in a lot of cases. So, you know, that $180,000 dreamer, if you got, you know, 8 years, you did 2 tours in the military, and now you've got a wife, maybe a couple of kids, and you're coming out and you're in your late 20s with maybe a master's degree and a top secret clearance, you are definitely in 6 figures. And you know, go for it. But, you know, that takes a lot of advanced planning. That takes, you know, vision for who you want to be, where you want to go. Hopefully the rating that you picked coming into the military is the thing that you want to do for the rest of your adult life. And that's not always the case, unfortunately. But, you know, if you can take your military experience in that vocation and then add to it leadership and time management and self-management and problem solving and all the things that we learn as NCOs in the military. And you are a force when you get out the door, and you're really in demand.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. The other thing, when you talk about education, you know, I work with the Purdue, and they give you so many college credit hours for basic training, AIT. So you're schooling within the military. So if you just went in a couple of years and stayed in there, you probably have almost an associate's degree. You may need 7 or 8 hours to finish up your associate's degree, but you probably almost have an associate's degree. What the other interesting thing about it is, we always talk about retirement, but 90% of the people that come in the service, come in, stay, you know, 4 to 8 years or 4 to 10 years or something like that. And 10% of the people come in the military really retire. So the numbers are sort of skewed. So we need to make sure that the people at the, you know, that spend less amount of time sometimes, you need to really focus on them and educate them about the things they need before they ever get out of the service.
Yeah. Another great point that you had was it was networking and finding your tribe. And there's no reason to wait until you're out to do that. You know, the veteran community on LinkedIn in particular is enormous. And so find those folks out there. You know, start with the Army-centric groups on LinkedIn, and then connect with people who you've been to service schools with and who you've been stationed with at commands. You want to get out and add those people as you move through and familiarize yourself with, you know, conversations on LinkedIn. And as you join professional areas, you know, if you're an administrative rating, then maybe SHRM, the Society of Human Resource Managers, is a good group to join. If you're going to go into business management, operations management, then the Program Management Institute has the PMP-centric groups, and getting out there and finding those professional groups and joining the conversation is a great way to learn what are the trends. And, you know, in those professional groups, what are the trends? What are the certifications people are getting? What are the degrees that people are getting? Super important to prepare yourself well in advance. And again, it only makes you a stronger soldier and a stronger seaman to be out there and broadening your knowledge base beyond just what your service schools teach you. It'll help you for advancement. It'll make your life easier just being able to do your job better.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's great. I'm gonna hit something that's probably negative, but we talked about your tribe, finding your tribe. Since 2001, you know, there's been over 7,081 people that died in this war on terrorism. But on the sad part, there's been over more than 139,000 people have taken their life by suicide, more than. And that's because people don't fit in when they get out of the service. The other thing, which is the same thing about finding your tribe and where do you fit in and struggling, about 200,000 people, veterans, are incarcerated at federal, state, and local level. And then about 86,000 are homeless. I think about 46,000 in the VA's help, another 40,000 are struggling. And so it goes back to what we're talking about finding your tribe, where you fit in. Don't go home and sit down on your couch and don't do anything. Reach out to somebody that, you know, talk to them about what you're going to do. Figure out, you know, what your next steps are. You know, every month, you know, I have a show too called Your Next Mission podcast. And if you're listening, go to yournextmission.org and you can follow me on there too. But I'm going to tell you about a couple of hiring events. We're talking about jobs on March 27th in Huntsville at the Von Braun Convention Center there. And we have a hiring event, a Your Next Mission hiring event. Also on the 25th and 26th of April in Denver at the Gaylord Rockies Hotel. It's a Quad A hiring event that we have. There's another Your Next Mission hiring event. Come on out and see us at those two locations. And we'd love to try to put you to work if we can, or at least help you or point you in the right direction. Resume writing, all that stuff. We'll assist you any way we can out there in those two hiring event locations.
So on the Army side, for sure, American Freedom Foundation and Your Next Mission are absolute resources in helping you with the transition and finding resources outside of the Army for yourself and for your family. And they're great folks to help you to find answers. You mentioned two other organizations, of course, AUSA and Quad A are both enormous organizations, and they serve the Army to help make connections with the industry and the Army, but more importantly, they serve transitioning service members and veterans to, again, make sure that they have access to or can find the resources that they need. That feeling of isolation that a lot of folks feel as they leave the military, you know, in the chief's mess or for the E6 and below, in the first class mess or whatever, you know, you have a pretty tight group wrapped around you. And if you're connected to it on board a ship, say, there's nothing you can't get done. And then all of a sudden you're out of the military and you're like, where's my tribe? Where's my resources? Who do I go to help me navigate through the VA? And, how do I get healthcare for my family? How do I manage, you know, I don't have the Navy campus office anymore. How do I get college benefits for my spouse or my kid? You know, I can't just go down to the personnel office anymore. What do I do? And it can really be debilitating, that sense of isolation. But it's super sad because there's no need for it. There's enormous organizations out there with incredible resources. The USO is another one we're partnered with. The Call of Duty Endowment pays for 10 not even large veteran organizations every year to help them to be viable and helpful resources for veterans. There's just so much out here for veterans, and anything that we can do on a daily basis to help people avoid those crises in their life and certainly the ultimate, you know, taking their own life because of, you know, I truly believe that it's because of that isolation. They just don't realize how many people are out here pulling for them and who want to help, you know, just like you and me and our organizations.
Yeah. Well, veterans got to help veterans. A lot of times what we do is you know, we talk a lot of stuff and a lot of people try to help you that are not veterans, and they do a great job. But veterans need to reach out and help veterans out. The other thing we talk about, your tribe and isolation, all that other stuff. We started a program just about a month ago, I think. And since I'm the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, on the 12th day, right, on your calendar, call a veteran. Or reach out to a veteran and say, hey, buddy, how you doing? Somebody you haven't talked to here for a while that maybe be struggling and needs a little bit of assistance, not just him, but him and his family. But reach out to them, see what they're doing. I think last month I called my old battalion commander I hadn't talked to in a couple of years, and the sergeant majors that I had when I was a 10th Cav sergeant major, and found out that he evidently had a wreck, went across a four-lane highway and hit a parked car and hurt his wife, but didn't hurt himself. But you never know what's going on with your friends. So reach out to them, see what they're doing, and see if you can help them.
Absolutely. So let's shift gears here and get to a little bit more positive topic. So American Freedom Foundation, your next mission. We have Von Braun Center is coming up for the Global Force Symposium for AUSA, and then Quad A at the end of April in Denver. It's not really a junket. It's actually a purposeful event out there, but we'll see you there, and we'll be glad to see you there. But job fairs, you know, people – they hear all the time, you're going to get a job based on who you know. So job fairs and LinkedIn are useless endeavors. It's a waste of your time. But to me, a job fair is an opportunity to grow your network. You know, if you get 50 employers in the room that they each put a recruiter or two or three at their table, then that's, you know, every one of those is somebody that you can add to your network. You know, you go through the room and you grab business cards and ask them, is it okay to connect with you on LinkedIn? They say that everybody knows 250 people they can get to their wedding or their funeral. So if each of those recruiters in the room knows 250 people, then you're one connection away from the person who could probably hire you after your service. I was in Fort Bliss last week at a job fair, and I was really encouraged by the number of folks who came up to talk to us who were 2 years out, 2.5 years out, and they're thinking about getting out, and they wanted to see what the job market looked like. And that's an incredibly smart thing to do. But they're at a job fair, analyzing the job market, making connections, getting a resume reviewed. Who's got a resume 2 years before they get out? So great job on them. But it's also an opportunity to talk to those recruiters and find out what kind of certifications am I going to need to be successful in a job at your company, and then go back and research those certifications and see if they're relevant to you and your field of interest. You know, job fairs are incredibly good resources in preparing yourself for the job search. And then, of course, once you're in the job search.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I tell you, that's great points, too. The other thing I tell you, don't cut out social media. Social media is a good asset for you, too. You know, LinkedIn and all that other stuff. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. Try to make it real quick. I had a guy that called me here. It's about a year ago. And called me and says, hey, do you know so-and-so? And I said, well, I don't think so. Because I have about 12,000 followers or something like that on LinkedIn. And I said, but let me go back and check it out. And so I contacted the guy, I talked to him on the phone, and it turned out I had known him for a long time, and I asked him what he was doing. He said, well, I just get ready to quit a job. I applied for another job. And I said, what's it about? He told me about the job. That's what the guy called me about. And this guy was first class. So after he said, well, why do you ask? And, you know, I haven't talked to you for a long time. I said, well, I'm just curious. I haven't talked to you for a while. So I didn't tell him. So I hung up. And I called the guy back and said, hire this guy right now. He's a great guy. So he hired him that day. And then the guy emailed me back. He says, did you have anything to do with me getting the job? I said, no, you got it on your own merit. And I'm sure you got it on your own merit. But through social media, there's some good and there's bad in there. But use your social media to reach out to people, too, and you'd be surprised. The other thing, we talked about networking. And you said it probably a lot better than I am, but commanders, people you work with, all those kind of things. You talk about business cards. Now they're just taking phones, slapping them together or something like that with your contact information. But all that stuff is good information for you when you get out of the service. And don't forget about the military spouse. Spouses are looking for employment. They got to come to the hiring event too. We put a lot of spouses together. I'm really proud. I shouldn't give you a number. Ted always gets mad at me when I give you a number, but I think throughout the time we've been doing this, you know, it's got to be over 6,000 or 7,000 people we put to work. You know, we don't track that very good. I wish we did a little bit better, but we must be doing something because a lot of people come back.
I was getting ready to look something up, but
go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Ethan, if you can find, you know, what are the statistics around for the unemployment rates for veterans and then veteran spouses, because I know it's a huge difference there, and it shows the disparity of how difficult it is on military spouses. You know, if your spouse is active duty and you're subject to deployments and things like that, and periodically, you know, you have to be the 100% single parent for a while. You know, that can be tough, and so it makes it hard to get a job for military spouses. Just having that title, and a lot of times they want to put it front and center on their social media, and it can make it difficult. I can't read that.
Nobody well, knows. I think, you know, military spouses, what going back to the transition, the best thing, what I did was when I was retired, I went down about, I think about 6 months or 7 months before I ever retired, and looked for a house. Found the location of the house, and about 5 months out or so, we started building the house. You know, and then we, when I did retire, went down there, you know, a few more weeks before we could move in there. But yeah, knowing where you want to live and know what's available for your spouse and your children for schools and stuff in the community that you're going to. I'd tell you a funny story. You know, when I got out of the service, I'd stayed in the Army a long time, and I'm used to meeting all my neighbors. So when I moved in, I walked around, started shaking my hands, all the neighbors, hey, how you doing? I'm Jack Taylor, and all this other stuff. And when I went back in the house, my wife says, you're nuts. I said, those guys will think you're nuts. You know, this is a different environment now, so be careful about all this stuff. So, you know, good advice. I always listen to my wife. I've been married a long time, and I know she has all the right answers. I certainly don't.
That's right. And that's what we got to tell them. Happy wife, happy life. But, my wife and my son both are like, and you will talk to anybody.
That's that military stuff that makes you user-friendly. Yeah, user-friendly.
That's right.
But the other thing is, you know, guys like you and me, I like helping people. And really, if I can help somebody find a job or do something, that's why, you know, that's why we started Your Next Mission podcast. You can go to you know, yournextmission.org and look at our show. But it's about helping, just like you guys are on this show, but it's like it's about helping our veterans and their families with whatever concerns or, you know, processes they have there to have a better life. And that's, you know, that's what I'm going to do, focus on till I'm no longer here. So that'll be a long time.
So, winding this down, I like to ask folks, and in your case, you can't say my time as a sergeant major of the Army. So excluding that, when was your favorite time in the military? Where were you stationed? What were you doing? Who were you working with? And because the reason I ask this question is because when people are trying to figure out what they want to do when they grow up and they get out of the military, they struggle with that. And so I say, you know, well, think back towards your career. Where was your favorite duty station? Who were the people you loved working with? What were you doing at that duty station? And how can we take that time and consider wrapping a career for the rest of your adult life around that experience? So what was that for you, excluding SMA time?
Well, let me tell you something. You didn't think I'm being politically correct and I got blinders on, but I liked every assignment I ever had. And I like the people who work. I'm a pretty positive person. And I look at the good in people versus the bad. And I probably never have thought 3 or 4 feet out of my life. But I just think working hard, staying focused, doing what you're supposed to be doing is the right thing to do. But of course, I love Germany. I like Germany. I liked the command when I was over there in Germany. I like being in the States, of course. I was stationed at Fort Knox and Fort Benning and Fort Lewis. I hope they haven't changed the names yet, but those three locations. But I never really had a bad job. I spent 3 years, 30 days in the Army, got out, stayed 2 years as a civilian, and realized I didn't fit in the civilian life and had to come back in the Army to keep pushing and doing other things. So now I don't know if I'd pick one over the other. I did like being the Sergeant Major of the Army. That was a great job because I really got the opportunity to help a lot more people, and it just made me feel good.
So I did want to ask you another question that I forgot to ask you. In transitioning out, and maybe not your experience because that was a minute ago, but what's your advice today for people getting out of the service? And a lot of folks come out and they're hard chargers. You know, they made themselves successful in the military by being real leaders and, you know, getting stuff done. And when they get out of the service and hang up the uniform, they don't hang up some of those, you know, traits. And so it can make it difficult to integrate into civilian life. What's your advice for folks, you know, about dialing it back a little bit and observing for a while to ease that transition?
I almost think it's like a promotion board in the military. You can go in front of a promotion board or a soldier or airman or a sailor of the month or year or whatever. And you let somebody talk, ask you a question, and then you respond to that question. It's the same way when you get some main life. You can't be that type A person that just said, hey, this is what I'm going to do and all this other stuff. Just what you just said, you got to pull back a little bit. It's easy to say, hard to do in some cases, because in some cases, you know exactly what has to be done, but it's you got to do it. The other thing I'll tell you is, I've been a leader from the bottom to the top of the Army. And the really important thing is allow people to do their job. You know, if you have a supervisor that you may or may not know as much as they do or think you do anyway, allow them to do their job and coach and teach them or help them as much as you can, because everybody in life, you know, if you move up to the next step, you want that support from the people that you're working with. So you said it already, but I think you just got to pull back. It's hard to do, but you got to do it. The other thing I tell you is that when you get out of the service, it's a good idea to take 30 days and just sit back and don't do anything. Maybe even 60.
Absolutely.
As long as you can, because you don't realize how tired you are. And you know, you talked about your deployments and all that stuff, but how tired you are. So you got to sort of sit down, think a little bit and relax. I remember when I get out, I think I've been out about 3 or 4 weeks. And I says, Gloria, come here. She said, what's wrong? I said, look, no more bags under my eyes. You know, cause I used to have big bags under my eyes. I'm tired as heck all the time, but just just slow down, enjoy life. You know, there's talk about smelling the roses. Slow down, smell the roses, enjoy life. And then the other thing is, I want to make sure we get this, is that, you know, when you talk to somebody, you may when you talk to somebody from 30 for 30 seconds or 15 seconds or 20 seconds, leave an impression on them. You know, if you're going to look for employment, I always say have a your little elevator speech, you know, what you want to tell somebody about yourself in about 30 seconds. But be professional, smile, listen, and allow people to talk. It's about listening and communicating. You can't just be in a transmit mood all the time. You got to listen to what they're saying too. So that's, you know, I'm a pretty positive guy, and I think I've just fell into everything in my life. But I love life, love God, and I believe in God. I believe in helping as many people as you can till, you know, to the day you die.
Well, I've known you for a couple of years now, and that's absolutely been my experience. It's an absolute honor for me to be able to have you on here and talk to us for a while and to get your insights on things. Are you going to be in Huntsville and Denver?
No, I don't know about Denver, but I'm not going to make Huntsville because I have some business. I have to go to West Palm Beach to give a class down there. So I'll be such down there. Yeah, but you know, that it sounds like a good life. The bad thing about it is my wife, she didn't travel with me a whole lot. I miss them. So I usually go do what I got to do and come home real quick because I want to be around my family as much as I can. But no, I may make Denver. I don't know about Denver, but I definitely won't make Huntsville. But for the people that are listening, come on out. We want to help you. We want to help you. We want to put people to work. And remember, it's about God. It's a family. It's about family. And of course, it's about all of you. So come on out and see us at both of those locations.
And of course, Ted Hacker will be there, Mark Halliburton, yeah. Kristen will be there, Kristen Walt. And so great folks from your next mission. And come on out and meet us, and we'll help meet you and introduce you around the room and see if we can't set you up for success on your way out the military.
All right. Don't forget to dress for success, dude. Make sure you look good.
Yeah. Don't dress like we did today. Yep. So, again, my honor to have you on, Sergeant Major, and I really appreciate your time and your next mission and American Freedom Foundation. And look them up, and we'll hope to see you at job fairs. Of course, Still Serving Veterans, we're here to help you with your job search as well. If you need help with your resume, LinkedIn, job search skills, interview skills, we're here for you. And all you got to do is look us up, ssv.org. And other than that, we're going to wrap it up for the day. Thank you for being here, Sergeant Major. Really, really appreciate your time and your insight.
All right, not a problem. Hoorah!
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Mission Transition, a podcast for veterans. If you have any questions, concerns, comments, or maybe even want to be on the podcast, shoot us an email at social@ssv.org.